and you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFU Radio on this Thursday, September 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and being a Thursday, it's Ruminations Thursday, and with us we have our good friend, the Pastor Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good and still a little warm, but I understand it's going to get down in the 70s pretty soon this week.
Well, we had a light rain this morning.
Well, some places need rain. You're in a farming area, and you probably do need some rain.
Well, they're getting ready for the corn harvest now, I think.
Well, that's good. I got one housekeeping duty. As you know, we now are on YouTube. And the way to get to it is youtube.com/ Pastor Tom Baker. Pastor is P-A-S-T-O-R, Tom Baker, should be pretty obvious. And what we did, we put up last night a piece of software that I think is just really fabulous. And you can take a look at it, and then you can click on the link there, and guess what? You can even purchase the software. It's normally like $495, and we have it for $27. So if you're at all interested in that, go to facebook.com/ Pastor Tom Baker. And we would also be thankful if you would become a subscriber. Just click on subscribe, which means every time we put a YouTube up, you're alerted to it. And it was in light of this, Pastor Reimnitz, we've talked about this, that I wanted to be able to write copy that was a little better. And our good friend Chris Ann Brunsman sent me an article on copy. And as I began to read it, I found out that it's not only very good for selling products in the secular world, but it also would be a pretty good system to use in doing a Bible study or particularly a sermon. What's the acronym that the person uses to teach us the various principles?
Well, it's called PASTOR, P-A-S-T-O-R.
Right. And go ahead. What each one stands for then is something, and you can't get past the first three without realizing how law and gospel oriented it is. You see, and this is a distinction I want to make, and then I want you to explain the difference, because you're pretty good at doing that in sermons. A lot of sermons seem to be just information. Maybe they're describing a biblical event or something along that lines, and they're informing you as to what maybe the people in those days when the Bible was written, what it meant. But this particular individual indicates that good copy does not lead to just information, but transformation. How would you explain that?
Well, I think what he did, you know, just to back it up a second, is he used the acronym, of course, PASTOR. And as he explains, what's the role of a shepherd is loving, caring, protecting one. Of course, he's using it in a business model, but I think what I believe that's what caught your interest is how the good shepherd, Christ himself, laid down his life for his flock, and we as the under shepherds are in that loving, caring, protective manner. And the transformation is life changing, and it's life changing through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, he makes a point that the first time I ever heard it was by Rush Limbaugh. Now, whether you agree with Rush or not, he explained one day why he thought he was so successful. And it's actually found under P, where the individual quotes Robert Collier, who says, when you're talking to someone, you have to join the conversation that is already taking place in the reader's mind. And Rush Limbaugh said when he was talking politics, he began to say things that people really believed, but they had heard nobody else saying it. And that's why he became so popular with those particular people who think in the same way that he does. Now, I believe that was Jesus. When Jesus came and started speaking about the real gifts of the forgiveness of sins, there were many people who needed that, but they didn't know how to come about it. And so Jesus really kind of follows this pastoral model in, first of all, talking about the problem and then moving to the transformation part. Now, we're going to get more into that. Normally, we don't follow marketing strategies because so many of them are manipulative, like bait and switch. But on the other hand, can you imagine that you would have the kind of people at your church if you only had parking spaces for three people or if you didn't have handicap washrooms?
Right, I would agree with you. And I think one of the things you want to keep in mind when you're talking at this level, it's a tool like a hammer or a tape measure.
Oh, that's good.
These are gifts that God has given us that help us in our abilities and or strategic planning. You know, people plan for the retirement, they plan for a trip, you know, and that's what I saw in this acronym that you were presenting.
Yes, that's a good point. I hadn't quite thought of it. It's just as a tool. Tools are neutral, but how you use them, like a hammer, you don't want to use to hit somebody with. That's not why it was put into the store. You use it to hit nails or other items. Well, what I found interesting here is this acronym really does follow law and gospel pretty good. There's a verse Jesus says, don't throw pearls to the swine. What is meant by that verse?
Well, it's casting it to unbelievers. Not that we're calling them swine, but it's the fact that if you were out in a hog yard, and this would be something that farmers would understand, you wouldn't throw it out in the hog yard because it'd get trampled. They wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't use it.
And the pearl, of course, stands for the gospel, that you don't give the gospel until you give the law. And that's why P in pastor stands for problem. Now, he uses a diet. He's trying to sell something to help people diet. And what he says is really interesting is you need to describe the problem in a way that the person relates to it. In other words, they say, you know, that's exactly the problem I'm going through. So in Christianity, what is the problem that all people have?
Well, yeah, the basic root cause is sin or alienation.
Yes.
Away from God.
And they feel it. They recognize they fall short. They may not even believe in God, but they recognize that they wish they could be better. So the problem is how sin ruins their lives. Now, you would use different problems depending on the Bible verse, because not every Bible verse has the same kind of law. Some people, the law strikes them, they're unable to meet God's will. They can't obey him properly. Other people, they've lost control, say, of their family, and they're wondering, what can I do about that? So it depends on the Bible verse as to what law that you would be speaking about. But by and large, all kinds of law, which means it shows us that we're not in control of our life and we need somebody outside of us to help us. All law really is the problem that the church is doing. Now, I don't know if you remember last week's sermon or this next week's sermon that you're doing, but can you think of the problem that you tried to get across or are going to try and get across with the people? Can you think of a sermon you did?
I can remember last week's. I can remember next week's. You know why?
Why?
I'm on vacation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so right now you're not preaching anywhere, but you've heard sermons.
Sure.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, the basic acronym that we've used, you know, especially in our confirmation, because, you know, right now all our churches with our pastors are gearing up towards teaching the 7th and 8th grade confirmation is SOS, the law, and SOS, the gospel. The SOS stands for shows our sins or shows our Savior. And it can depend on that very issue. The one that I heard this last Sunday down in Tennessee, very excellent pastor in Loudoun, Tennessee, talked about how I get in the way. You know, I think I'm more important. You described it as the I in sin. You know, we're right in the middle. And that was an apt description. What comes to mind is Ephesians chapter 2, right at the very beginning. It says, we are dead in our trespasses. Our sins get in the way.
Yes, and I think what a sermon does is it puts into theological terms the problem a person is undergoing. They don't often realize that part of the problems in their life are due to being in a sinful world, and they're trying to make it better. And, you know, there's people who think that we're going to have a utopia here on earth, but Jesus is pretty clear on that. You'll always have wars, rumors of wars. The poor will always be with you, because this is really Satan's turf. We're living here kind of being colonized, but our real home, heaven, is our home. So you can't do a sermon of law and gospel without first talking about the problem. You don't skip to the solution, because if a person doesn't realize how the solution takes care of their problem, they'll maybe even crucify you. Can you imagine that Jesus just went around and all he says was, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven? Well, the Pharisees didn't think they were that sinful. And right. So they would be very angry at him. So law precedes gospel. Last week we talked about four ways in which that is reversed, where the good news comes first, and it just doesn't work, does it?
No, and that's what I thought was really nice about the sermon I heard, because when he talked about the I in sin, he gave, you know, specific examples of our temperament, our family relationships, our work relationships, you know, and how that sometimes get in the way and causes problems where I'm more important than anything else.
Like, for example, yesterday we talked about love is the fulfilling of the law, and we made a number of points where people do not understand love. They think that as long as you have a loving motivation, you can about do anything, even if it's contrary to the morality of God's will. And so the sermon could show the problem that, isn't it odd how sometimes when we think we're loving someone, things don't go correctly? And the reason for that is because we think that the way to fulfill the law is to love, when in reality, the way to love is by fulfilling the law. It's just the very opposite of what most people think.
Yeah, very good. Well said.
So the problem, he has a second part. A is to amplify the problem. And this is really important, because what he's doing, he says, what you do is show the cost of not having a solution to your problem. So if you've got somebody who doesn't think God loves them because bad things are happening in their life, then when you amplify that, you would show them, well, since you're unable to obey God perfectly, well, what is your hope that he will ever truly love you if his love is based on your obedience? That would be a way of amplifying, I think, what their problem they think they have is.
Well, or I think another way that you might want to put it is in terms of the works. What can I, you know, the consequence of knowing my sin is not taken care of is how do I also try and work myself out of that situation and know that I can't work myself out of that?
Yes, and that's the problem. You amplify it to show them that they are unable to work their way out of their problem and to save themselves. And here you get into the huge distinctions. There's only two religions in the world, the religion of the law and the only religion of the gospel. Can you expand on that?
Well, religion of the world says, and I generally explain it this way, that it's our going towards God, that somehow I have to do something in order to merit God's favor, and as you know, that becomes a slippery slope that we're constantly trying to figure out how to make ourselves right with God. The other one, of course, is it's already done. It's a do and done religion. Do means I got to do something in order to merit God's favor. That's world religion. done is the Christian religion that says it's all done in our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross.
That's an excellent distinction, simply because every religion in the world, here's what you got to do, and then they name a bunch of things. But in Christianity, we have good news that it's done. So using this PASTOR acronym, we've shown the problem that you can't do it. Now, he says, S is for the solution or the story. And I like the idea of story. Because what's the story that God tells us how he took care of our inability to save ourselves?
It's called the Bible, God's Word. You know, from beginning to end, it's the story about Jesus and how God brought his salvation through Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection.
See, this is really odd because this doesn't work in the secular world. If you have a diet problem, you know, you try all kinds of fads and none of them seem to work. And then you come across something you get interested in. I guarantee you, it's always something you have to do. I mean, when's the last diet thing that you heard about where it says, and here's the wonderful things about this diet. You can eat whatever you want. You never have to exercise. You never have to take any pills. And you begin to wonder, well, that sounds really good. I don't have to change my lifestyle. But you know that that's just a sham.
Right. And the solution factor that we find here from a Christian perspective is found in what God has done for us.
Yes. So the solution is really something outside of us. The way I would liken it, let's say that you find out from your doctor that you have a disease. Can you imagine somebody telling you have Ebola? There is nothing that you can do to get rid of that Ebola, but perhaps they might be able to get you into a hospital in the United States that is working with people with Ebola. Remember, just two of the missionaries have been cured of it and have been released from the hospital, you know, that man and that woman.
Sure. I think that's an excellent illustration you bring up, because it was something outside of the diseased person that finally came in and made that intervention.
That's the point. Yes, that's the point, that the solution is always outside of us, because the problem in Christianity is a person is totally unable to fix anything. And as you said, the solution is outside of us. If anybody wants to call, the numbers in St. Louis are 821-0850. 821-0850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. So we've looked at the solution, the problem. We've amplified the problem. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up in hell if this isn't fixed. But then the fix or the solution is none other than Jesus. The T then stands for a transformation or testimony. Now, the way I understand what he means by that, it certainly would be something along these lines. Here's the example I would give. You don't like your next door neighbor at all. Maybe he's very rich. He's got all these fancy cars. You just have your own car, and it's not that rich a car and this kind of thing. So you don't like him that much. And then one day you're backing out of your driveway, and unbeknownst to you, one of your children are in the driveway. And all of a sudden, your neighbor's at the back of your car hitting his fist on your trunk. And you're really angry. So you stop the car. You get out and say, "What are you doing?" And then he points to your child that you just about killed. Do you know what a transformation would occur in you towards your neighbor that you didn't like? You would really like him. And right. See,
yeah.
Go ahead.
It'd be a real life-changing sort of, you know.
That's a good way of putting it. Every sermon needs to be a life-changer. And that's why, what's the goal of a sermon? Isn't to give information so a person can fix their own problem, but to give revelation that God has fixed their problem and their faith in Jesus increases. They depend on him even more. That's what we call the transformation.
I like that.
And
I struggled with that one a little bit, and I like your explanation.
Yes, the transformation occurs because you have what, and we've talked about this before, Wes, we have an aha experience.
Yes, and boy, when they had those aha experiences, it really comes down to, I've never saw it that way before, and I've seen the light switches, and I'm sure you have too, go on the expressions of people that to know that they're forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ, and things can and are different because of Christ in their life.
And you can see that because one of the practices we have is shaking hands with the neighbors, I'm sorry, with the members as they leave the worship service. And after a sermon like that, you know, you start hearing comments about, boy, that was really helpful. And then they're standing around in the narthex or wherever talking about it.
Yes, or they're out there in the highways and byways talking to friends and neighbors or family about what they heard in church on Sunday.
Yes, and that's why more people start coming to your church, because there has been a transformation among your members. Now, Pastor has two more letters. O is the offer. And that's not something that we would use in the sense of, okay, here's what we're offering for you to buy. The offer instead is, here's a gift that you may have.
Well, I would go back and say, call it offering.
Oh, but that's good. Yeah.
What's the cost of this offering that we're giving as Christians? I mean, it's not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood. That's what we read in 1 Peter.
So that the offering is really from God to you, and you get it for free.
That's right.
Yeah, in fact, there are some programs on the internet. If you want to sell somebody's book, they'll give you like 50%. If you sell it for them, they get 50%. But I'm not kidding. I ran across a couple of marketers. You know what percentage they give you if you sell the book? They give you 100%.
Wow.
And then you wonder, well, wait a minute. They're not making any money. But no, that's not true. Because when they send the book to the person, they don't mind giving you 100% because they now have their name and address. And this is already a person who is known to buy their kind of products, and they would pay anything to get a list of people who've already bought what they're selling.
And isn't that really what has happened, is God would pay anything to save us, and He did that with Christ.
And He did. Then the final thing is the R, response. And, of course, in secular marketing, that would mean you need to get them to respond to buy your product. But that's not the response that we want from the congregation. What's the response that we're looking forward to seeing and hearing?
Well, you're back to life-changing, or our offering in Lutheran. The apology of the defense of the Augsburg Confession in the Mass, we talk about our response to this offering that God is. We respond in thanksgiving, in faith of what He has done for us.
And then the congregation together, say, confesses the creed, or brings their children to baptism, or takes the Lord's Supper, where they again receive free gifts. And that's the kind of response that we want on the part of our people. In other words, increased faith and, as you said, a thanksgiving for what God has done for them.
Yes, very well said.
In fact, I'm preaching at Emmanuel Olivet this Saturday at 5 and then Sunday morning. That's 9733 Olive. It's just on Olive east of Lindbergh, so it's not very far at all from a lot of people. It's about the center of the city and county. But that's what I'm doing. The passage I'm doing, I haven't talked about. I talked about another passage. It's, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out.
Mm.
That's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah. I can imagine you, Tom, with your literal interpretation there.
Yeah, in fact, I did that in Collinsville when I was asked to do a seminar, and I wore an eye patch. And I forgot we had a meal ahead of time. You know how hard it is to eat a meal with one of your eyes covered? My fork kept hitting my nose. But the funniest thing was there was a little kid who came up to me, and he looked, and then he said to his father, "Is he a pirate?" And his father said, "Be quiet, sit down."
Oh, my goodness.
So it was really fun. I had a lot of fun. So that'll be at Emmanuel Olivet. And next week, we hope to be having you back with us for Ruminations. And tomorrow on Law and Gospel, Open Mic Friday, we'll take any questions. But we're also going to use what Wes and I just talked about today on Psalm 1. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.